Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our star-studded Friday show here at Catholic Answers Live. To be Catholic is to be tied to the sacraments. Our religion is a sacramental religion. So what are these things we call sacraments and why did Christ give them to us? If you have a question about the sacraments, this entire hour we welcome your call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Dominican Father Paul Jerome Keller. He is presently professor of sacramental theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. He's the past president of the Society for Catholic Liturgy, and he's also the author of 101 Questions and Answers on the Sacraments of Healing. Father Paul Keller, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Cy. Thanks.
So I suppose, you know what I didn't mention? You're also the author of A Journey Through Lent with Jesus Christ and Thomas Aquinas, and maybe some folks are just getting ready to wrap that journey up right now. But if you'd like to get that book, that's available from Father Paul Keller, A Journey Through Lent with Jesus Christ and Thomas Aquinas. So, well, Father, when we say sacrament, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the signs of God's love, but they are not signs just that remain signs. They are efficacious signs as we speak about them in the church. In fact, that's part of the definition that we find in the catechism, that the sacraments are signs that cause God's grace in us, God's life in us. So these signs instituted by Christ, seven of them, correspond to the various parts of our life, such as being born. We're born in the divine life through baptism. We are strengthened through the sacrament of confirmation. Just as we need food in the divine life, we consume the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. There are seven of these signs that cause a particular grace. They increase sanctifying grace in us, but they also give us a special grace to carry out some particular work and to help us in the spiritual life, in the Christian life, to grow in holiness and to grow in union with God.
So they all have a visible aspect. They all symbolize or give us a sign of something, but they actually really make real the thing that they give us the sign of.
That's right, Cy. And that's a good point you just made in terms of the visible aspect. Actually, we would say there's something sensible about the sacraments. And sensible there, we mean not it makes sense, but rather that we can sense with our five senses, that we can touch or taste or feel or hear. So, for instance, with the sacrament of marriage, the vows are something that are spoken and heard, and that's the sensible aspect of the sign that causes grace in the soul.
And this is probably one of the distinctions between what happens in many, say, I don't know, not to pick on anybody, but just I think this is just legitimately the case that if, say, you go to the average mega church on a Sunday, you will experience the preaching on the Word of God. You'll hear the reading of the Word of God. There'll be singing and all that. But what's different for among us Catholics is that a sacrament happens. That's essentially what is the center of the Mass.
That's right. The Mass essentially is the consecration of bread and wine transformed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. And for those who are prepared to receive him, that is, who are in a worthy state, in the state of grace, may receive the Eucharist, that is, consume the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. So, essentially, the Mass is a sacrament. The first part of the Mass, of course, we listen to the scripture readings in preparation for the Word. So we receive the Word, we hear the Word at the beginning of Mass. And the second part, as Dr. Scott Hahn points out in his wonderful book on the Word, the Word is made flesh right before us as the priest consecrates the bread and wine, transforming it into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ.
Now, I suppose it's possible to receive all seven sacraments. Am I right about that? Yeah, but most people won't.
Right.
Because for priests, if they receive holy orders, they won't marry. And for the married,
presumably,
they likely won't receive holy orders. Although things happen, right? Spouses die, that kind of thing. So, is there a hierarchy of the sacraments? Should we think of them that way, or no?
In a certain sense, yes. The Eucharist is really this most central and important sacrament, in terms of all of the sacraments being ordered to the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, so that we are baptized really in order to consume the Eucharist. The Eucharist is situated at the center. We can picture a wheel with the hub as the Eucharist, and out of the hub coming the other sacraments. Or I should say they're related to the Eucharist. They take us to the Eucharist, and they are deepened as a result of the Eucharist in us.
888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking sacraments it's pretty good that we have a professor of sacramental theology here with us to do it. Father Paul Jerome Keller is the professor of sacramental theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. If you have questions about the sacraments, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. So I'm going through life and I'm getting these sacraments and let's say I'm not noticing they're doing anything for me. Am I supposed to notice them doing something for me?
Well, yes, I think so, Cy, in the sense that if we are using the sacraments, if we're living the sacramental life, we should notice a change. We should be deepening in Christ. It's for someone who is just kind of receiving the sacraments and not experiencing a deeper relationship with Christ, something is wrong. Something's missing. And that doesn't mean that we rely on our feelings in the spiritual life. We certainly might experience or feel something on the one hand. On the other hand, that's not the point of the sacraments. It's not the point of the spiritual life. Rather, we should be experiencing a deepening of our relationship with Christ. We should be drawing near to Him in prayer. We should be experiencing interior healing. We should be growing in the virtues and in the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
But that may take time, though, to manifest.
Depending on the person, yes.
Yep.
In each of our lives, yes. And we're continually growing, right? We've always got a long ways to go on the one hand. On the other hand, sometimes people are going through the sacramental life perhaps without really asking God to experience the power of the sacraments. For instance, it's possible to go to Holy Communion Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and because we're not attuned to what we're doing in Holy Communion, we may not always reap the fullest of the graces and the benefits.
You know, part of my motive in asking you about that is that I think sometimes Catholics we make fun of ourselves and we criticize ourselves, and others maybe make fun of us and criticize us because we don't get really emotive during Mass. And so the Catholics, we're often made fun of for our singing and our lack of singing and all that. But one of the things that we're told from very early when we're taught about the Eucharist is that it's not about what you feel, that you know that Christ is there by faith, not by your feelings. And I do think there's a certain way in which that affects what we do when we are at Mass, there is a kind of faithfulness in that, and just accepting that, yeah, whether I feel terrible or great today, whatever, the Christ is still coming, and Christ is still coming to me.
That's right. And when I'm speaking about experiencing something with Christ, I mean the interior deepening, really, right?
Yeah.
The deepening in spiritually, interiorly, and that doesn't mean we're always going to feel something. We're not always going to. We may go to church feeling challenged by some event in our lives and experience a certain peace and strength, confirming our faith and so forth on the one hand, but it doesn't mean that we're going to feel all giddy. And you're right, the Mass is really something. You know, one time years ago, somebody, a priest was telling me, I think this was in the 70s, that he doesn't understand why everybody isn't smiling at Mass and why the priest isn't smiling. And as I reflected on this, I realized it's not a smiling event. First of all, the first part of the Mass is the Word of God. We're listening to the Sacred Scriptures. And the second part of the Mass is the offering of the representation of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice that he offered is the sacrifice on the cross.
Yeah.
And while what takes place at Mass is done in an unbloody way, nevertheless, this is a very powerful moment in which we are living again, the presence of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ is represented to us, and that's not something to sit around laughing, smiling about.
No, it's a different, it's on a different level than that. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest this hour. We're talking about the sacraments. It's so fundamental, I think, sometimes that we almost forget to talk about it on Catholic Answers Live. It's so basic to the Catholic life. Everything else flows from the sacramental life. If you have questions, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back with your calls for Father Paul Jerome Keller right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. Sayings like these are such a part of tradition that we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers, even though nobody can seem to place their origin. By sheer repetition, they have acquired a halo of truth. In What the Saints Never Said, Trent Horn takes over 40 of these well-known but actual dubious sayings and attempts to track them to their true source. The result? He finds some that are close to what was really said, many that were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few that were just plain made up. By setting the record straight, Trent roots out theological errors that can lead us away from Christian truth and offers authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to that truth. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous period in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform yourself is a great place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000. Visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father Paul Jerome Keller, and we are talking sacraments. If you have questions about sacraments, we're happy to take those calls, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Riley in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Catholic Radio 990 AM. Riley, your question for Father Keller. Riley?
I got into a discussion with a friend of mine who is more non-denominational, and we came to a misunderstanding about what baptism is and what role it plays in our spirituality. And so I was wondering if you could summarize what general Protestants believe about baptism and what Catholics believe, and maybe the differences and similarities that we both share and we both have, I guess.
Well, thank you, Riley. That's a kind of complicated question. It depends on what group of Protestants that you're talking about in terms of what they hold for baptism. For instance, there's a group of Southern Baptists who would hold that baptism is merely an external ratification of an interior decision that was made long in advance or sometime in advance. Whereas the Lutherans and the Episcopalians, for instance, would hold something a little more similar about the effects of baptism, that is, that it takes away all sin, including original sin, and sets us on the road to heaven, that it makes us children of the Father and thus God the Father and thus inserts us into the body of Christ, the Church. So it really depends. And you're talking to a non-denominational person, so that makes it even more difficult. What I can talk to you about are the effects of baptism, and that's the effects of baptism, especially as we are taught about in the scriptures, but also through the sacred tradition, namely that the baptism is necessary for salvation, that Christ has taught us this himself. He says this in John's gospel when he's speaking to Nicodemus, for instance, in John chapter 3. Baptism washes away all our sins. And at the same time, as washing away our sins, that's one side of the coin, the other side of which is belonging to the Father, being adopted by God the Father, being inserted into the life of the Trinity, having the Trinitarian existence in our souls, placed in our souls. We receive sanctifying grace as well as the grace to be able to worship God fully, properly, totally in Christ. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We receive the infused virtues. We receive the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. So there's a lot that happens in baptism. It's a very robust understanding of baptism in the Catholic Church. I suspect that your friend probably does not share that robust of an idea what baptism does.
Riley?
That is a lot, and we did come to the to a disagreement on whether or not baptism washes away all sin, because my friend was under the understanding that that was what the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus did, and I wasn't exactly sure how to respond to that, because that's, at least my understanding is kind of, that's why he ended up dying, was to take, to sacrifice himself to account for all sin.
Absolutely.
But if baptism occurs beforehand, I'm not exactly sure how that all works out.
So, yes, Christ died for our sins, and you are right about that, as is your friend. However, how do we participate in the crucifixion of Jesus? How do we participate in the act that he's done? There are two ways to do that. One way is to do it in the way that Jesus told us, which is to be baptized so that we share in his life, really, right? That's what baptism does. It inserts us into the life of Christ. Or it seems to me the only other possibility is a subjective claim on my part, right? If I refuse baptism, if I refuse to be immersed in the water or have water poured over me with the Trinitarian formula, I'm left to my own devices, and that means that I make a subjective claim on God. But how do I know what that means? It's my claim. There's no possibility of knowing the objectivity of that act as there is by doing something that Christ himself has taught us. And remember, to be baptized and to have our sins taken away is associated with being inserted into the very life of Christ. We're not, this is not something that we, it's not as though we're baptized and just kind of living alongside Christ. We're living in him. We have the Blessed Trinity dwelling in our very souls.
Riley, thanks very much. I hope that that was helpful. And if you want to re-listen to these, because sometimes there is a lot to them, you can always re-listen on our Facebook page. They're there immediately, or on our Catholic.com page. You can usually get them the next day or within a day or two. Riley, thank you again. We go now to Steve in Sacramento, California, which is a perfect town for today. You are on, Steve, with Father Paul Jerome Keller. Your question, please.
Yes, I read in Romans chapter 5, 6, and Ephesians 2 that says salvation is a free gift. It says it six times over and over again. Galatians 1 and 5 says, if we are forbidden to attempt to save ourselves, says Christ will profit you nothing. If you be circumcised, you can put in baptism in there, take the Jesus pill. Anything you try to add to grace, you nullify it. You wipe it out, and you wind up in a bad spot forever. It's and these mega churches will profit you zero. It's all a bunch of baloney. The stuff they're teaching is unbiblical. They don't rightly divide Scripture. And we are told to follow the Apostle Paul. And Jesus did not call us. He called Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told the 12 in chapter 10, don't go to the Jews, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. We don't do any of that stuff today.
Well, Steve, did you thank you for sharing all that. I'm sure that Father would like to respond, but did you have a particular question that you wanted to give to Father?
Yeah, how in the world is a little pill that's manufactured in a little town in Maryland going to get you into heaven? Nobody does anything. That pill is just a little thing. There's a bunch of them in my town.
Okay, I think we got the question. So how does that help you get into heaven, Father?
How does what?
I think what he means when he says that little pill, he's talking about the communion wafer that it doesn't seem to have the terminology for it, but so the communion wafer, he's saying that that's not
okay.
He's dismissing that, in other words.
I see. Sure. Well, our Lord himself tells us that unless we eat his body and drink his blood, in John chapter 6, that we do not have his life in us. And so, as a result, it's our Lord Jesus himself who's telling us to commune, to take Holy Communion. To use a modern term for it, you won't find the words Holy Communion in John chapter 6 or anywhere in the scriptures, but that's not the point, is it? The point is that our Lord is instructing us to eat his body and drink his blood, which is what Holy Communion is.
Steve, I hope that was helpful there. You live in Sacramento, Steve. It's named after the Blessed Sacrament, so I'm hoping that will... That'll help. But thanks, Steve. I'm going to keep going because we got lots and lots of questions for Father Keller. But we do. I mean, I guess to kind of sum up, Father, we're not we don't think of ourselves as being saved by a piece of bread. We're saved by the bread of life, who is Christ himself.
Good point. That's a good way to put it, Si.
Whoa. I know it's Friday and I don't know. I'm clicking on all cylinders today, Father. I don't know.
Think you've been studying your sacramental theology.
I've been listening to you, Father. All right. Let's go to Garen in Anchorage, Alaska. Garen, thanks so much for calling us. We might have to do that thing where you ask the question and we do the answer on the other side, Garen, but let's see how it goes. Your question for Father Paul Keller.
Okay. Thank you. I struggle with a certain sin and I confess it. But I do it again, and I go back to my confessor, and I confess it. But is there a point where I'm not forgiven? I mean, this is happening over time.
Well, Garen, the point of going to confession is to ask God's forgiveness for our sins. And, of course, that presumes that we have contrition, right? That we bring some aspect of contrition to the confessional as well. And sometimes, all the times, all of us have some particular thing with which we struggle. For some people, it might be gossip. For other people, it might be laziness. For other people, it might be overeating, drinking, and so forth. So we all have a particular weakness that we struggle with. Sometimes in the confessional, people will say, and I'm not revealing any particular sin here, but the general theme, sometimes people will lament that they struggle with the same thing over and over and over. I said that once to my own spiritual director and confessor, and he said, what? You want new sins? You want more problems in your life? So I think that's a good answer. The real thing, Steve, or Garen, excuse me, is that you bring repentance, you bring your contrition to the confessional and continue on, but also make use of the means that the priest suggests for whatever that particular sin is. Really ask God for deliverance, ask him for help so that you can begin to overcome. When I say that we continue to struggle with the same thing a lot throughout our lives, I don't mean that we should just give in, nor do I mean that we will never overcome these things, but rather sometimes it's going to take a little more work to a little more depending on God and using the graces and the gifts he gives us in order to experience that deeper healing.
Garen, how does that strike you?
Yes, that's a good answer. Thank you.
I particularly like the part about, what, do you want new sins? Father? That's kind of funny because...
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Well, I've always been confessing these shabby sins that I commit over and over again. But this week, Father, I've done something really bad. So I feel like I've...
I've got something new to bring you.
Yeah, that's not an accomplishment.
Right.
Garen, thanks very, very much for that call. We are discussing the sacraments with a sacramental theologian. As a matter of fact, he's a professor of sacramental theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. If you have a question about the sacraments, the sacramental life of the Catholic Church, what they are, where they came from, what they do, give us a call. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take you on an exploration of the crucial social and theological issues surrounding the encyclical and try to answer questions about the theological core of the issue of contraception, possible limits of the document's teaching, what led the Pope to issue the encyclical, and so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Very blessed and happy Lent to you. It just seems so surprising that it's coming to an end. It feels like some years I guess it feels like it takes too long, and then other years seems just right. This year it's coming to a quick end for me. I hope yours has been. Blessed Father, can you believe that next week is Holy Week, the holiest week of the year for us Catholics, and
a perfect
time to talk about the sacraments.
Gone quickly. Yes.
Did you felt that way too, Father?
I did. But, you know, yeah. I have to make a confession, and maybe this will help some of our listeners.
All right.
I have good Lents and I have bad Lents.
Yes.
This Lent was a bad Lent for me. I just struggled the whole time. And it didn't seem like a long time. It's just gone. It's gone quickly. But I'm just throwing myself on the mercy of God this Lent because I don't think I kept solidly any of the intentions that I had at the beginning.
You know, I'm going to share something with you. A friend of mine called me today and he said the same thing. He said it was awful. And that's part of it. I mean, not everything can be a peak. But slightly unrelated, but I was making a novena and then I totally forgot one day. And then I told this priest, and he said, "It's good when you fail because now you know it's not magic. It's your faith. It's by faith that these things happen. So put your faith in God. Start up the next day. So maybe that'll help. I don't know. Let's go to Terry in Epping, North Dakota. Terry, you are on with Father Paul Jerome Keller. Your question.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Terry. You have a question? Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. So I'm been back and forth most of my life. I've never really had a denomination. And I've been listening to you guys for a couple weeks now, or at least the station, and kind of thinking about it. My mom, just some back history, gave me on to God when I was a baby, and I was always raised Christian. But to get to my question, because I have a thousand of them for you, but the most important was, obviously I can't be somehow through all the sacraments, but I have partaken in eating of the body and the blood of Christ, and I've never even been baptized. Does that make me a sinner? I mean, I've always wanted Jesus in my heart. I've always asked for him to be in my heart, but I've never been baptized because I never found a single particular place, and I don't have anything, a Catholic church, obviously. It's just a Lutheran church, and I never found myself to be fully Lutheran. Never found myself to be fully Wesleyan, which is one that I went to in Williston, but I always found myself to come to Jesus.
Well, praise God for that, Terry, that you have that desire for that close relationship with Jesus. Father, maybe you can help us a little bit with Terry hasn't been baptized, but he has gone to communion, and what does he do now?
Sure. Terry, thanks for the question very much. First of all, I would strongly urge you to be baptized and find a Catholic church. You said there's no Catholic church in your town?
In Epping, there is, I believe, even two of them in Williston, North Dakota, Boomtown Oil Field, Williston, North Dakota, which is,
well, if you have a chance to,
miles away.
And, well, if you have transportation or some friends who have transportation, it would be good to try to make it to that Catholic church and register for classes there, the rite of Christian initiation for adults, so that you can learn about the faith and be baptized. As for taking the bread and wine, are you talking about doing that in a non-Catholic church?
I've done it in a Wesleyan church. I forget, when I was a kid, my grandma used to drag me off every weekend, and I don't know what the denomination was. But
okay. In the Catholic Church, that would not be
as well, because it's all I had.
Okay, Terry.
Right. Thanks, Terry. In the Catholic Church, that would be a no-go. Unless you're baptized and in the state of grace, it's not possible to partake of Holy Communion. It requires that we be baptized, that we be inserted into the life of the Blessed Trinity. However, having done that, if you're asking if it's a sin to have partaken of the bread and wine in a non-Catholic church, I would say typically in non-Catholic churches, they hold that the bread and wine is simply a symbol and that it's not the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So you were partaking of a symbol, which is not in and of itself a sin because you desire to be with Jesus. However, I really want to urge you, Terry, to find some friends who can take you to the Catholic Church so that you can get yourself baptized, be baptized, and finally participate in Holy Communion to receive the body and blood of Christ.
Terry, we'd also like to send you a book. I'll send you Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic. It's very, it might help you work through some of these things. But do you think you might make a move towards being baptized, Terry?
I believe so. I mean, I've definitely thought about it. On the downside, I mean, there's some things that are very vague in the Bible. I've read scripture a lot, but do you have to be Catholic? I mean, do you have to be denominated or proclaimed Catholic? I mean, heaven, is that what the church says? Is it,
Father?
Well, that's a good question, Terry. But Christ established a church. There's only one church that he established, and that continues to exist today as the Catholic Church. Historically, some of the other experiences you've had in non-Catholic churches are those places that have broken off at one point or another in the history over the last several hundred years. And so if you want the fullness of the truth, which I know you do, yes, it's, you have to participate in what Christ has done, what he has set up, and that would be the one church, the one true church.
And he loves you, Terry. I'm sure that there's the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, so I hope you will make a move in that direction, Terry. If you will hang on, Nathan will get your address if you like. You don't have to give it to us, but if you like, and we can send you that book, Why We're Catholic, Trent Horn's book. And also, don't lose our phone number. We're here every day. Call anytime, Terry. We'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking sacraments with Father Paul Jerome Keller. 888-318-7884. We go now to Kathy in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Kathy, you're on with Father Keller.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
That last call was, boy, makes your job and what you do all worthwhile, doesn't it?
It really does, Kathy. Yeah, your call too, but him more.
Well, thank you. Our diocese is doing restored order sacraments.
What?
And I'm currently teaching confirmation to third graders. And,
great.
Yeah. Of course, once you we have to teach it, you have to really get it. So I've heard words like, for confirmation, the gifts of the Spirit are increased, they're completed, they're strengthened. And when I think about in the Bible with, baptism, and then the laying on of hands by the apostles was a separate act, that makes sense to me. But I still kind of struggle with, you know, did we get like half of the cup of the Holy Spirit at baptism, and then we're going to get all the rest of it at confirmation? And is that how it actually happened in the Bible? When they were baptized, did they receive the Holy Spirit, or were they just forgiven of their sins?
Great questions, Kathy. First of all,
and you're like the guy. I was so excited to hear that you were on. I'm like, he can finally answer my question.
Well, we'll see. Let's see how
no,
he does.
I think she's talking about you, Cy.
Oh, not me. No.
Cy the guy.
Yeah.
So, Kathy, so what the scripturally or his and historically, baptism and confirmation happened together. It's only over a period of time that they were separated in terms of their being administered to people. But early on, they were administered together. And so looking at it scripturally makes it a little bit more difficult to ascertain the differences. But there are real differences. In fact, the sacraments are still administered together today when we give them to adults. So a week from tomorrow night at the Easter Vigil, there will be a number, thousands and thousands of people in this country alone who will be baptized and confirmed all at once. And so there won't be time separation over in terms of months and years between those two sacraments as we experience with children or infants and those who get a little bit older and receive the sacrament of confirmation. That said, it's the whole Holy Spirit that we receive. We receive, we can't get a part of God. God gives himself to us and inserts himself into our lives, or we invite him in. We receive the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity on the one hand. But on the other hand, Kathy, we need to grow in that life as well. And that's really the essential difference between baptism and confirmation. Baptism is birth, we might say, like birth, right? Birth into the life of God, being reborn into the life of God. And confirmation is the strengthening of that life. So as in natural life, we're born and we have to grow, the same thing happens in the sacramental life. We're reborn, but we're strengthened, or we grow. Now, that growth in the spiritual life does not have to happen over a period of time. We don't have to have the sacraments separated. That growth can be given all at once, immediately. Our experience of it and our putting it into practice might take some time on the one hand, but nevertheless, the sacrament itself gives us the fullness, or the adulthood, we might say, of life in the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense, Kathy?
It does. That's a better explanation. I mean, I've read the Catechism, and like I said, some of those words are, it makes sense. I'll just say that, you know.
Right.
You know, one of the things with going younger is that a lot of people say, oh, well, you're not ready to be, you know, make all these choices yourself. But, the, you know, what I've learned and taught is that, you know, we don't have to do anything in confirmation because it's just gifts that we're given.
Amen.
But the idea that it gives us, like, a little bit more to go out and then, you know, be in, participate in his mission and, you know, defend our faith, that makes a lot more sense to me now.
Yes, and Kathy, if I may add, first of all, thank you for teaching and understanding what's going on in the Sacrament of Confirmation. But I really want to reiterate something you just said, and that's that it's not something we earn or that we have to get a certain eight, that we confirmation is not something that we try to do something with. I'm not using the words properly here. I'm trying to remember exactly how you put it. But it is the living of that adult life, the entry into that adult life, and the fullness of grace that God gives us in the confirmation, in the Sacrament of Confirmation.
Okay, Kathy?
Yes, thank you guys so much, and thank you for what you do. And can I just ask, Father, if you have publications or anything like that that you...
On the Sacrament of Confirmation?
No, just in general about the sacraments.
Oh, yes. Si mentioned at the beginning my book on penance and anointing of the sick.
I think you're forgetting the title of your own book, Father.
I am
forgetting the title.
I thought so.
101 Questions and Answers on the Sacraments of Healing.
Oh, wow.
You see, the author doesn't make the title. The publisher makes the title. So
right,
the author
right.
forgets his title sometimes. So,
well, thank you so much for your time.
Kathy, thank you, and God bless you and all that you do. And you just gave me an idea, and Darren, our producer, is right here. I think we should do an entire hour just for catechists. Let catechists call with their questions. What do you think?
Great.
Darren approved. Okay, thanks, Kathy. Thanks. You just made the show better. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Father Paul Jerome Keller on the sacraments and your calls on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people. I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our super big Friday show here on Catholic Answers Live. Father Paul Jerome Keller, our guest this hour. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be in here, and we're going to talk about any Catholic doctrines that you might struggle with. If you have a struggle with understanding or even accepting a particular Catholic doctrine, that will be your hour to call. Carlo's happy to talk with you. And we always finish the week on high energy when Carlo is in here second hour. So please hang around and enjoy that. This hour, we're talking sacraments with Father Keller. And all the lines still full. So we got to get to work here, Father. Vance in Laurel, Missouri, you are on with Father Paul Jerome Keller. Your question, Vance.
Montana, actually.
Montana. Okay.
Not Missouri.
Yeah.
I'm not saying whether it was me or the call screener. I don't want to, you know.
That's okay. It's a question about communion kind of in two parts. I'm a musician, and I do liturgical music with guitar groups. And I play at two different parishes on the same day sometimes and stuff. The first part of the question is, like, when I drive to the west to a different town and I play music with their group, I'm usually the one that stays up in the choir loft to keep playing music to get the communion music started while the rest of the people go downstairs for communion. And sometimes if one of the ladies remembers to bring that little pixel box thing, then she'll bring communion upstairs for me. But otherwise, then I don't get it. So my part of that question then was, is it wrong to go to Mass and not take communion? And then the other part of the question is, like, if I play some mornings I play in that parish, and then I drive about another 40 miles east into another town and play for a Mass at a different time. So is it wrong to take communion twice in the same day at two different Masses? So
all right, Vince, thank you very much. You're an all-or-nothing kind of guy, aren't you? Father? Your response, Father.
Thanks, Vance, for your question and for your service to the Church. It is possible to take communion up to two times a day. A provision is made for people who are at two different Masses for various reasons to take communion a second time. However, it's not at all improper to not take communion at the second Mass. Of course, we have to always be prepared and be in the state of grace in order to receive Holy Communion properly. But receiving the sacrament at one of the Masses actually would be sufficient. You know, there's a thing called spiritual communion, Vance. Spiritual communion is when in the state of grace, some people think you can take a spiritual communion whether you're in the state of grace or not, but in the state of grace, we can make a spiritual communion, which entails desiring God, asking Jesus to come to be present in our souls as if we were going to Holy Communion, expressing our desire to receive Him. And, of course, our Lord will never refuse such a prayer. So I would suggest that if you're busy with the music, it might be a good thing to make a spiritual communion at your second Mass or other Masses.
Vance, how's that?
Well, pretty good. But then the first part of the question was like, if I go to Mass just once on a weekend, like when I'm playing sometimes in the city. And then if I miss communion because I'm upstairs still doing music.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Is it wrong?
Okay.
Yeah, is it wrong to not have communion if you go to Mass?
Not at all, no. We go to Mass in order to worship God, but it's not wrong to not take Holy Communion. And as I said, for those in the state of grace, even if we've missed Holy Communion on a particular Sunday, it's possible to make a spiritual communion. But no, you would not be doing anything wrong by not going to Holy Communion.
Thank you very much, Vance. I've got to keep moving because we're getting near the top of the hour. We go to Eva in Hazel Green, Alabama, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Eva, thanks for downloading the app. Your question for Father.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. I'm very grateful to God for EWTN because it's thanks to Mother Angelica, I came back to the Church.
Oh, thank God.
15 years ago. Yes, praise be God for her and watching EWTN a lot and decided to come back to home, Catholic Church. And my husband converted 4 years ago this Easter. He was a Baptist, and he converted to the Catholic Church, which is a miracle in itself.
Amen to that.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll just mention this, yes. Eva, before you get to your question then, just since you brought it up, the anniversary of Mother Angelica's death is Tuesday. So if you have a chance to listen to, I'm sure EWTN will be doing all sorts of things to remember her, and we'll certainly remember her here at Catholic Answers. Eva, your question for Father.
Yes, we have four children. Our third kid is a beautiful boy. He's a special needs kid. And he's 9, and he didn't do the preparation for First Communion 2 years ago, as it is here. And so I decided to do it this year. And he has a developmental delay, and he understands the difference between right and wrong. But I don't know. Well, I have talked to his teachers and our pastor in our church, and everybody says he'll be fine. I just wanted to know, what does the Catholic Church say about he will have his first confession tomorrow and his first communion in 3 weeks. And he has been preparing for it. I don't know how much he has been able to take, because he doesn't talk a lot, and he doesn't express himself very well. I am very nervous about his first confession. And also, how do I manage his future as him being a Catholic? If he doesn't know he has to go to confession, do I have to take him? I don't really know when he will need it, when he grows into a man. How can we handle those?
Okay, those are wonderful questions, Father.
Great questions. Thank you, Eva. And congratulations to your son about to make his first confession and communion. The very first thing, if the priest does not already know prior to going into the confessional, maybe alert him that at some point during the series of confessions, your son will be going to confession and that he has special needs, so that the priest will be able to try to pay attention a little bit more carefully, or put on his special thinking cap when it comes to understanding how your son might express himself. Secondly, it's not the best situation in the world to have one's parent in the confessional, but if it's absolutely necessary that a translation happen and is needed, then that would be possible. But let's move that to the least of the possibilities at this point. Just alert the priest, and I'm sure he'll know how to take care of your son. As for the future, as he gets older, I think simply asking him, especially since you say that he does understand the difference between right and wrong, simply asking him, since he will be taught about sin as well, and he will develop in his understanding of sin and right and wrong, to simply ask him if he needs to go to confession, and again, to find the priest who can best understand. A very dear friend of mine has a special needs son who was born with severe cerebral palsy. And it's very, very, very difficult to understand Dominic speaking at times. But with some patience and a lot of questions, you can come to a better understanding of what Dominic is communicating now that he's a young teen. So it is possible, and it may be a little more work in terms of trying to understand, but that's okay. So I would say do the best you can with your son, and congratulations.
Eva, I'm going to say thank you for that call, because I'd like to see if we can get one more in before we have to go. Tricia in Thompson, Georgia, listening on St. Paul Radio. Tricia, I'm going to have to ask you to go quick with your question. We'll see if we can get an answer in.
Okay. I'm going to tell you that EWTN is very important to me. I am on the way to becoming a Catholic, which is going to be tough because we are Reformed Presbyterian and very, very active. But I've listened to EWTN, and I believe I know the truth now. My problem is that I heard on one program on EWTN, my understanding was that I was listening to a lady who was told that she could not take communion, the Eucharist, in the church if she was married and, her partner was not Catholic.
All right, they Tricia, we're going to have to leave it right there because we only have a few seconds. Father, is that true?
Fine.
That they cannot...
That she can't receive communion in the Catholic Church unless her husband is also Catholic.
No, that's not true. So long as Tricia herself is Catholic, she can receive Holy Communion. If her husband is not, Tricia may still receive Holy Communion.
Tricia,
if they're properly married in the church.
All right. I hope that addressed you. I'm sorry we didn't have more time, Tricia. I hope that addressed your question, but we're here every day. You can always call back if it didn't. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thanks so much for that. Hour went quick.
It went too quickly. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Father, and have a very blessed Holy Week.
And you as well.
Thank you. Coming up next, Carlo Broussard. If there's Catholic doctrines that you're having trouble with, he's the guy to talk to. We'll be right back with that after this on Catholic Answers Live.